Hey babes, let's get started. Actually, should I reintroduce the podcast? I don't even know if I did that in book two. Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles, and this is the third installment of our little mini episode series where I'm reading every single Goosebumps book. We are on book three, Monster Blood, from September of 92. Let me read you the description. While staying with his weird great-aunt Catherine, Evan visits an eerie old toy store and buys a dusty can of Monster Blood. It's fun to play with at first, and Evan's dog, Trigger, likes it so much he eats some. I had read the description of this book before, but that dog part and the dog eating it was not included. But then Evan noticed something weird about the slimy green ooze. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And all that growing has given the monster blood a monstrous appetite. So my concern is we're already like seeing some familiar elements, like at least so far it seems like there's no sister, but there is monstrous appetite, which was in the last book a tiny bit, and dog. I just don't love dogs in kids' books. I don't know. They just don't have, you know, the moral conundrums we do. I don't know if I did this in episode two, but I want to read you the first page. I don't want to stay here. Please don't leave me here. Evan Ross tugged his mother's hand, trying to pull her away from the front stoop of the small, gray shingled house. Mrs. Ross turned to him, an impatient frown on her face. Evan, you're 12 years old. Don't act like an infant, she said, God, freeing her hand from his grasp. I hate when you say that, Evan exclaimed angrily, crossing his arms in front of his chest. Softening her expression, she reached out and ran her hand tenderly through Evan's curly, carrot-colored hair. And I hate when you do that, he cried, backing away from her, nearly stumbling over a broken flagstone in the walk. Don't touch my hair, I hate it. Okay, so you hate me, his mother said with a shrug. She climbed up the two steps and knocked on the front door. You still have to stay here till I get back. Why can't I just come with you? Evan demanded, keeping his arms crossed. Just give me one good reason. Your sneaker is untied, his mother replied. That's a fun way to end the first page. Evan is being forced to stay for 2 weeks with his great aunt Catherine because his dad, I don't think it said, but he gets transferred to Atlanta, so mom and dad are gonna go, I guess, try to find a house, and for some reason Evan cannot be taken with them, which as an only child, right, you're just brought everywhere. That doesn't make sense to me, but fine. Catherine is like deaf. She's been deaf forever. She refuses to like learn sign language or lip read or anything. Evan is complaining. And at the end of the chapter, again, R.L. Stein, you're so good with the chapter endings. She opens the door. You know, it's our first vision of her. She's holding a big knife that is dripping blood. All right. This is me 5 days later. I'm noticing a pattern in the Goosebumps books where in each one, I think the protagonist is trying to convince themselves that their emotions are incorrect or disproportionate or unwarranted. The first book, it was like, no, you're not seeing random people in the house. You're just upset. And that's already happening in this book. And it probably happened in the second book. I just don't remember. What was the quote that made me think of it? So his mom is about to leave for 2 weeks or something. And it's been a while since I've looked at this. He didn't want her to leave. He had such a bad feeling. You're just scared. He scolded himself. I don't know, that's something that I've really loved about acting, is it's like really gotten me back in touch with my instincts. And thinking about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, thinking about Midnight for Charlie Bone, thinking about The Last Unicorn, there is just this pattern of like the things that stick with children are the things that are scary, that have real peril, that validate that the world is frightening. And I think fear is inherent, and perhaps there's something really comforting in saying that that fear is not wrong, you know? It might not be a monster under your bed, but it's reasonable to think that there is something perhaps less than trustworthy in your house. I don't know, much to consider. I'm like 4% of the way through this book, so. Have I mentioned that I don't like dog stories? And it's not because, like, oh, I can't handle if they get hurt or it's not that. It's not like a bracing for impact. It's that, like, dogs don't have moral complexity. An exception, right, to dogs in narratives, right, is the Donald Sutherland Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where there is a dog with a human face. And then, by the way, if I'm remembering correctly, dog with human face is, like, not even, I think it's, like, you know, a second. It's, you know, it's in there for about as long as I'm in Mythic Quest, you know? Now, that's funny. But it is, like, my favorite part of the movie. And when they start pointing, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a great part. That's a good movie. That's a really good movie. He meets a very typical tomboy named Andy, because her name is Andrea, and she hates being called Andrea. And they meet, they immediately kick it off. They're calling each other stupid, very classic. And she's like, let's go into town. I need to buy a toy for my cousin. There are two toy stores in town, a new one and an old one, but I like the old one. But I don't know if the occasionally mean owner will let you and your dog in. So that's where I'm at. FYI. This one has just not gotten me yet, but I'm like at most 20% in the way through. So, you know, it's early days. Hey babes, it has been almost an entire month since I last cracked open this book. There's also just like so much that happens in these books, like that don't matter. I can't stand a book that wastes my time. Okay. Evan and Andy are in the store. Okay. I'm going to say we're going to start at the end of chapter 6, the final page of chapter 6. Andy, remember, is looking for a present. Remember, I'm reminding myself. Andy is looking for a present for her weird cousin at this old store. He was about to leave when something caught his eye. It was a blue can about the size of a can of soup. He picked it up, surprised by how heavy it was. Bringing it close to his face to examine it in the dim light, he read the faded label, Monster Blood. Below that, in smaller type, it read, Surprising Miracle Substance. Hey, this looks cool, he thought, turning the can around in his hand. He suddenly remembered the $10 his mother had stuffed into his shirt pocket. He turned to see the store owner standing in the doorway, his dark eyes wide with anger. What are you doing back here? He bellowed. Chapter 7. So the old man doesn't want to sell it to them. He says it's too old, probably no good anymore. It's not for sale. But then Andy and Evan are bickering about it. And he goes, well, why don't you two share it? Contradicting. $2, I guess, the man told Evan. But I'm telling you, it's no good. It's too old. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to whisper because if I speak at a normal volume, she's looking at me and my kitten will leave and she won't sit on my chest. And I want her to have a nice day. So they bring the can of Monster Blood back to Aunt Catherine's house. Aunt Catherine wants to look at it. And then they go upstairs to Evan's room. Andy clocks the books that Evan was like not interested in. She says they're magic books, which that makes me angry at Evan. I didn't know they were magic books. Can you hear this cat? ASMR. They open the can. The titular Monster Blood is bright green. It shimmered like jello in the light from the ceiling fixture. I would never have described jello as shimmering, but I don't have a problem with it. It was cold, thicker than jello, heavier. He pushed his finger beneath the surface. When he pulled his finger out, it made a loud sucking noise. And it definitely glowed in the dark. A circular ray of green light seemed to shine from the can. It feels even colder outside the can. When you squeeze it flat, it pops right back, and it bounces, and it flies out the bedroom door. Let's see if it stretches. Yep, it stretches too. It stays cold even after it's been in your hand. This sounds like a not very good advertisement for this Monster Blood. I wish it was red. I understand all monsters allegedly have green blood, but you know. Oh no, it stains. Trigger the dog is chewing it. He swallowed it.
I'm trying a semi-normal volume. Oh my gosh, and immediately she's trying to leave.
Ugh, well, shit.
The mom's house hunt is not going well, so he's going to have to stay for a little bit longer.
But he didn't want to upset his mother. He told her he was fine and that he'd made a new friend.
So 3 days later, it seems like nothing has happened at all. So Evan goes to see Andy, but before he finds her, he runs into these two twins who they like try to bully him. They take Andy's bike. Andy goes home and Evan comes back and Trigger's eyes were bulging. His mouth was wide open, his tongue flailing rapidly from side to side, white spittle running down his chin hair onto the ground. Trigger! This makes me remember the dog in the first book did actually die. Like, he looked fine, but he did die. So, RL, damn. The dog was gasping hoarsely, each breath a desperate, difficult struggle. He's choking, Evan realized. As Evan reached the dog run, I guess that's where the dog is living, the dog run. I've never heard that noun before. Trigger's eyes rolled back and the dog's legs collapsed under him, his stomach still heaving, the air filled with his loud, hideous gasps. I'm 38% of the way through. So before Evan went to check on Trigger, he went and looked. He was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do today. So he looked at the monster blood and there was more in the can than previously. And now he got Trigger's collar off and Trigger's fine. He's drinking a lot of water. And because he's drinking a lot of water, I say this, Evan does not say this, Robert does not say this, but since he's drinking a lot of water, it's not rabies, because rabies makes you hydrophobic. Famously, he's bigger, Evan decided. He's definitely bigger. Trigger was too old for a late growth spurt.
Another day, another change in the monster blood. Now it's pushed the lid of the jar up, so it's still expanding. Now it's warm and it's sticky and it's no longer bouncy. They are daring each other to lick it, taste it.
You probably already guessed this about me. Maybe I already said it. I hate dares. Trigger has doubled in size. I have figured it out, you guys. This is the gritty prequel to, let me give you a minute to guess, Clifford.
Guys, I'm irate reading Goosebumps number 3. Because chapter 13 starts. Trigger's huge. He's running. Evan is screaming, oh my gosh, he's a monster. Then he wakes up from the dream. It was all a dream. But then he looks down and he looks at his hands and his feet and now he's giant, he's huge, and he's screaming and he's screaming. And that was a dream too. Disgusting.
Evan leaves Trigger like outside the grocery store. The two twin bullies, did I tell you about the twin bullies? They're twin boys who are bullies, are talking about the dog. Trigger starts growling at them, chases them away, just like Trigger did in Evan's dream. Evan is going to Andy's house. Quote, her dad, she said, was a fanatic about the lawn.
Whoa, 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 a fanatic, dad? With a thing for plants? Sounds just like
Goosebumps number 2, the one before this, Dr. Brewer. Remember? With the Dodgers cap? Wouldn't that be fun?
So the first book is very much inspired, and this isn't research. I'm not quoting Mr. Stein on this, but the first book is the 1960 film Village of the Damned. The second book is Invasion of the Body Snatchers, particularly, you know, the Sutherland remake, which is fantastic, great remake. This one is The Blob. What do you think?
Ooh, this is a very revealing little line right here. Evan is thinking about telling Aunt Catherine about his problem. Quote, it would feel so good to tell someone, to have an adult take over the problem and handle it. He and Andy have resolved to return the monster blood to the store.
I'm sorry, but I feel like a lot of this book is just looking for buckets to put the increasingly large and quivering monster blood in. And I hate to say it, but I am not loving the Goosebumps books, y'all. I'm not. I feel like maybe at this time in my life, I'm just more interested not having read them at all in the Fear Street books, because I anticipate there just to be like a little more plot, a little more character, a little more transfer from episode. There's lore. I was at the used bookstore yesterday, Sideshow Books in Los Angeles. I love that place. And I heard a woman asking for, she was like, I want the Goosebumps books, but like the teen version. And I wanted to be like, it's called Fear Street. But instead I was just like, I'm ready to check out whenever. I love that guy. He always offers you espresso. Once he offered me fresh baked croissants. Not joking. And I like when you go to check out and he's like, oh, these are good finds. Oh, hi, Texas Toast. Do you have anything to say? Okay, back to the book. I think I'm also just frustrated with the amount of fake outs and then how disappointing they are. Like, chapter 18, Evan is looking for buckets. The big thing is Evan finds a bathtub. And there's a moment where he's like, oh my gosh, it's a human body! Oh wait, no, it's just a mannequin. And then the chapter ends with, like, he finds the cat, Sarah Bath. And it's like, he didn't even have time to scream out before she jumped on his face. And at this point, you know it's going to be fine in the next page, which is maybe the whole point. I mean, Aaron, isn't that the whole point of horror? Is that you can be scared out of your pants and then leave the theater and it's still bright and beautiful and sunny and you just had a nice afternoon with your dad and now you're going to go home and take a nap. Correction, that was not a fair characterization of the end of the chapter. He falls into the bathtub full of goo. That's what happens. Which is alarming and concerning. I was wrong. He's eating shredded wheat again. Did I mention previously my love of mini wheats? I just want that well established on the record. I love them. I love when you get one with a thick... Okay, saying that in that way just alarmed both of my cats. With a thick layer of sugar on it. And there's like a little crunch. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. Is BMX still cool with kids? One thing I will tell you is that Razor scooters are still very in, at least in my neighborhood. So the toy store is closed. They can't return it. And one thing I will say for these kids is I really respect that they have not been like, let's just flush it down the toilet. Let's just like leave it on the curb, put it in bins on trash day. I respect that they seem to have this like sense of almost responsibility about it. Maybe that's because, you know, the dog ate some and is suffering consequences. But the problem with this book is that the stakes are not being raised. And you can argue that the stakes are being raised because the monster blood just keeps getting bigger. But because it is the same escalation every time, it is not escalation. Now they're putting in a giant trash can, which seems like a big step down from a bathtub. However, do you remember what I said about Clifford? I was wrong. This is the gritty backstory for Oscar the Grouch. How did it take me this long to realize that? A telegram? A telegram. In the year 1992, September of 1992, a telegram from a mother who has been calling him frequently throughout the book. Andy keeps screaming, it's alive, classic. The blood eats the twin bullies. The blood gets into Catherine's house, and just as it is about to swallow her, she is yelling to Andy and Evan to leave, and she says, get out, save your lives. I made this thing. Now I must die for it. Okay, I'm intrigued. Fellow babies, I gasped because, so Evan is like, putting the pieces together, a beautiful mind. They never use the word witch, but he is like, Aunt Catherine put a spell on it. Must be. Evan screams, you did this. You did something to the can. You cast a spell on it. And Aunt Catherine goes, I didn't do it. She did. And she pointed an accusing finger at Andy. But at the end of the previous chapter, she just said that she made it. So Catherine made it and then Andy cursed it? I mean, let's keep going.
Aunt Catherine has been like globbed up by the glob. Everyone is staring at Sarah Beth, the black cat. All eyes were on the cat as it rose up, stretched, and grew. And as it grew, it changed its shape. It became human, with shadowy arms and legs in the eerie darkness. And then the shadow stepped away from the darkness. And Sarah Beth was now a young woman with fiery red hair and pale skin and yellow eyes, the same yellow cat eyes that had haunted Evan since he'd arrived. The young woman was dressed in a swirling black gown down to her ankles. She stood blocking the doorway, staring accusingly at Catherine. You see? She's the one, Catherine said, quietly now. Okay, so it was not Andy. It was like Prisoner of Azkaban. You know what I'm talking about. You know what's bad when you're like, oh, I think I should actually rewatch those movies. You're like, there's other content out there. You're like, oh, I watched Lord of the Rings too much. Now it kind of does. Okay, coming back. And the next words were intended only for Sarah Beth from Catherine. Your spell over me is broken. I will do no more work for you. Sarah Beth tossed her red hair behind a black cloaked shoulder and laughed. I'll decide what you will do, Catherine. No, Catherine insisted. For 20 years you have used me, Sarah Beth. For 20 years you have imprisoned me here, held me in your spell. But now I will use this monster blood to escape. Sarah Beth laughed again. There is no escape, fool. All of you must die now. All of you. I'm frustrated because it's so interesting within like 2 pages. And I spent 100 pages looking for buckets. But I guess, you know, maybe this book is designed to be read like, okay, when you finish your assignment, you do some silent reading until we're all ready. So it's meant to be like, okay, I can read like a 2-page chapter and now I have to listen to Miss Diggs talk about fractions again. So that's fair. 20 years ago, I thought she was my friend. She cast a spell on me. Her dark magic made me deaf, which is kind of disappointing. Imagine you're a deaf kid and you're like, oh my gosh, someone's like me in this book. And then it's like, oh, it was just a magic spell. Like, oh, well, mine isn't. She refused to let me lip read or learn to sign. That was one way she kept me prisoner. She forced me to cast the spell on the can of monster blood. She had warned me I was allowed no guests. I was her slave, her personal servant for all these years. She wanted me all to herself to do her evil bidding. Although maybe there's something interesting in here about, like, I'm looking at the line, I'm so sorry, Evan, I had no choice, no will of my own. And thinking about, like in the last episode, you know, isn't it nice if your parent is being scary for like a scary reason rather than for a human reason? So I think there's that again of like, oh, what if my great aunt or something is mean because there's a reason? It's something totally out of the realm of like actual possibility. So it's not that like for example, for an Aaron real life example, my aunt has said probably 15 words to me in my 27 years of life. So, like, wouldn't it be nice if Aunt Sherry is a because of a witch and not because maybe some weird antiquated kind of sexism that seems to permeate the women on my mom's side of the family, even though Sherry is not a blood relative? I'm trying to give you the goods, you know, the analytical goods, even when it's just me and a can of monster blood. So, Sarah Beth orders the blob to kill the children and then Trigger, the pony-sized cocker spaniel, runs in, and in a classic, because all stories devolve into the greatest conflict on earth, cats versus dogs, the dog charges. And Trigger doesn't seem to be doing this like with any kind of special animus attached to Sarah Beth. He's just like, I want to see Evan. And I'm a dog living a normal dog life. So Trigger pushes Sarah Beth into the ooze. She gets sucked in. The glob is growing smaller. Trigger is getting smaller. The twins fall out of the blob. Other stuff that the blob has eaten falls out.
So then Mom arrives, and Andy and Evan resume this weird sort of, like, we're too young to flirt, but we're having feelings kind of moment. So they're gonna call each other when Evan moves away in moments. And then we've got another Behind the Screams section. R.L. Stine has a King Charles Spaniel, so similar to a Cocker Spaniel. Don't tell me if I'm wrong. There's always a little Q&A. R.L. Stine had a toy skeleton. Do you think you would be tempted to eat monster blood? Only if it tasted like banana cream pie. If so, what would you do once you were a giant? Eat the world's biggest banana cream pie. And then there's Fright Gallery, Monster Blood. First appearance, Monster Blood. Other appearances, Monster Blood 2, 3, 4. Origins. Some say Monster Blood is a harmless toy from Wagner's Novelties and Sundries. So this makes it look like there's going to be trading cards. And I want that. And then there's Recipe for Monster Blood Punch, which is lime jello, white grape juice, and green food coloring. Can you save the world from monster blood? Nobody wants monster blood oozing around their neighborhood, but it can strike anywhere, anytime, any place. Take this monster quiz to find out if you're ready to save your neighborhood. I do want to say, right? Green ooze, right? I was like, oh my gosh, very radioactive. Like, you know, the very first Goosebumps book was like, there was a weird spill at the factory and now everyone's dead. And then there's book two was about Dr. Brewer genetically modifying organisms. So I was getting like a consistent theme, and I was ready for this one to be like radioactive waste. And then it was just like a witch put a spell on a can. A witch put a curse on a woman who put a curse on a can. That's the end of Goosebumps book 3, Monster Blood. The next book is Say Cheese and Die, which I know I have heard people mention, so that's sort of a fan favorite. Don't know when that one is coming out. Upcoming books on the docket are Great Gatsby, The Awakening, Captain Underpants, Barbie Swan Princess, Where the Sidewalk Ends. But full disclosure, I am interviewing for an office job, so that could radically change everything about the podcast. You know, I haven't had an office job since 2021. But these are kind of easy peasy to make for me. The hard one with this, with Monster Blood, was that I did not care for the book. I think the most interesting ones so far might have been Stay Out of the Basement, but it's only three, and I'm excited to see what happens. So if you would like to find me anywhere, you can go to at Erin R. Bowles on all platforms. You can support the podcast at buymeacoffee.com/required reading. That would be very helpful. Nice, lovely. Thank you. And I'm watching Avatar The Last Airbender for the first time. Not because of the podcast, just because my boyfriend mentioned it. And I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. Like, I didn't actively avoid it. I just never got into it when it was airing. I think we look back at kids who are kids in the aughts, and you were either like a Disney kid or a Nickelodeon kid, and I was a Disney kid, but really more than that, I was a PBS kid. Avatar is great. Maybe I'll find a way to turn that into content. I don't know. Right now, I'm just enjoying consuming the content. Thank God. Okay. I'll see you around. Tell me your thoughts. I hope you're well. And on TikTok, you should not be allowed, I mean on anything, you should not be allowed to leave a comment until you have listened to the entire thing. The end.